certainly did not forget about Peter. We're going to go talk about him right now, back in Acts chapter 2 through 5, because we are going to see an amazing truth. And you hear, you come here for truth, and you're going to hear this truth here first. That is, that Romans 13:1 does not apply until Romans 13:1. How do I keep coming up with this stuff? It's true. Romans 13:1 was written after Acts chapter 5. Why is this important? Chapter 4 and 5. Because Peter says something in Acts chapter 4 and 5 that doesn't apply in Romans 13. Concerning, I'll go ahead and give it away, that we should be obeying God rather than man. Because that seems to be a contradiction. Martin, you said, Romans 13, that God's mandate is being enacted through the agency of superior authorities. But how can you say that when Peter says back in Acts chapter 4 that should we obey God or should we obey man? In other words, God and the human authorities are at cross purposes, if you'll pardon the pun. But Martin, you say they're on the same purpose because God is working through them. So what's the deal? Here's the deal. It was a different time. Well, there's two different deals. One, we're dealing with a religious authority, but you might say that they had political authority in Israel. Church and state were one in Israel, and it wasn't that way in Rome. In Rome, now we have a separation of church and state, and now our apostle tells us that we're no longer looking for an earthly kingdom. The big deal here is that Peter was to be ahead of that earthly kingdom. And at that time, in the book of Acts, it was a transition period. It was a transition period from the coming of Christ to the era of the nations. But during that transition period, it was presented to Israel that their Messiah had arrived, and if they would repent, they would come into the kingdom. This is all relatively human speaking. Repent, and the kingdom will come. Seasons of refreshing, prophesied through Joel. Peter's laying it all out. Thousands of people believe. Acts chapter 2, Peter heals a man who has been lame for 40 years at the Gate Beautiful. What a beautiful name for a gate. Beautiful. That's just beautiful. No, it was at Beautiful. And the Sanhedrin are on the run because there is mutiny afoot. The people could have staged a coup. Yes, and succeeded. They could have mutinized against their spiritual leaders. And that's what the Sanhedrin were afraid of. Let's look at the first instance here. We're going to look at Peter's actions and his words early in the book of Acts. Now watch what happens in the book of Acts. I've explained this to you in my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. Is that early in Acts, Israel starts strong. And the nations are nowhere. They are in the position of which Paul speaks to them in Ephesians 2, says you're without God in the world. Still that way. And so Israel starts big, nations are nowhere. By the end of Acts 28:28, Paul slams the door on Israel nationally for a time being. He exposes this secret for us in Romans chapter 11, verse 25. And in the meantime, the nations now take center stage. They're front and center in God's operations. And this transition occurs in the book of Acts. And in one of the central portions of the book of Acts 9, that's kind of the middle, sort of, okay, give me a break here. The Apostle Paul is called. And now we have a bit, well, let's go to Acts 13. 9 is the stoning of, now Paul's called in 9. Yeah, 13, he's separated with Barnabas by the Holy Spirit, and then he embarks officially on his ministry in Acts chapter 13. But in this transition period now, Peter is still the man. Jesus handed him the keys of the kingdom. Remember that? Now he's using those keys to open the door. And he's opening the door of opportunity, this is all relatively speaking, for the nation Israel to come into the door. And I've reminded you of this before. This is very interesting. I believe that man was lame for 40 years. 40 years is a big number in Israel. 40. Time of testing. 40 days, 40 nights, Jesus in the wilderness, right? Reigned for 40 days and 40 nights, the days of Noah. Well, Israel had at one time in their nation's history come close to the promised land. an afternoon's walk away. And because of faithlessness, because they would not listen to the testimony of the spies and to the pep talk they got in the locker room from Moses, they had to wander in the wilderness 40 years. Trial, testing, 40 years. Moses was in the wilderness 40 years. And now in the book of Acts, this is a 40-year time frame where there is 40 years for Israel as a nation to repent, accept the Messiah via the testimony of his disciples and come into the kingdom. And now we're looking at that heyday in Acts chapter 4. Verse 20, verse 15. Now, ordering them to come forth out of the Sanhedrin, they parlayed with one another, saying, "What should we be doing to these men? For indeed, that a known sign has occurred through them is apparent to all who are dwelling in Jerusalem." And this known sign was the healing of the lame man at the Gate Beautiful. And the people all knew about it. It was headline news, front page news. And we cannot deny it. Boy, they wish they could, but they couldn't. But lest it may be disseminated more among the people, and that's key, more among the people. Because I think on the day of Pentecost, two chapters before this, there were like 4,000 people in Jerusalem that believed the testimony of the disciples. Lest more people start talking about this, we should be threatening them, that is the disciples, that by no means should they still be speaking in this name, capital N, the name of Jesus, to any human. That was their plan, to shut the disciples up. And calling them, they gave them a sweeping charge. I love that. A sweeping charge. That's right there, verse 18 of Acts 4. If I'm going to give somebody a charge, it's going to be sweeping. I could just imagine. I would start the sweep at my right breast here, if you're looking on the Zender cam, and I would bring my hand across my chest to the left and extend it toward the people to whom I am giving this sweeping charge. And they gave them a sweeping charge. Here it is. Not to utter aught, nor yet to be teaching in the name of Jesus. And here's what Peter said. Note this, verse 19. Yet Peter and John, answering, said to them. I gave Peter all the credit. But John is in here too. Quote, "If it is just in the sight of God to be hearing you, rather than God, you judge. For we cannot but be speaking of what we perceive and hear." So here it is. It's a choice between God and you, Sanhedrin people. It's between God and you. Now, if you think it's right we should listen to you instead of God, you make that judgment. As for us, we can only speak concerning what we have heard, what we perceive and hear. Yet those who are menacing them, the Sanhedrin, release them, finding nothing how they should be chastening them because of the people. That was the big fear of the people. For all glorified God for that which has occurred, for the man was more than 40 years. There it is. That's the time in the wilderness and the time of the Acts administration. 40 years. Isn't that fantastic? 40 years. On whom this sign of healing had occurred. All right, so now we're going to go to another passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 5, when our heroes, Peter, James, and John, perhaps Peter and John here, are once again in jail. But listen to this. This is verse 17 now of Acts chapter 5. Now, what happens later is going to contradict this, but when you realize that it's just different things happening at different times, you realize it's not a contradiction. How can we say one part of the Bible contradicts another part of the Bible when one part of the Bible occurs, say, in the days of Noah, or in the days of Adam for the love, or in the days of early Acts? How can we say that contradicts something that happens during not only a different administration, but many years later? Speaking of Paul, why wouldn't Paul say something different than what's happening here in Acts and what Peter is saying in Acts? Especially if you realize that not only is it years later, but we have a new administration. We have a new people being called, namely members of the nations for a new organism being called, namely the body of And when you see these differences, and I enumerate them for you in great detail and specificity in the first idiot in heaven, you will realize that we don't have a contradiction. Peter says, obey God rather than man. Martin, you say that God is now speaking through the human government, speaking through, in a way, man. Something changed. It's different. I'm going to read some passages this week from A.E. Nock in the Concordant Commentary. We must note the different administrations. And that's just a fancy way of saying, if somebody calls you a dispensationalist, reject that. I reject these theological terms. You're a dispensationalist. No, I'm not. I believe God does different things at different times. Dispensation just means you give something. So technically, I guess that's what I am. But there are administrations in which things are dispensed. So we have dispensations, the thing that's dispensed within administrations, that is the time period or the system in which a thing is distributed, and all this to say that God does different things at different times. So in Acts, he's bringing the kingdom, and Peter is going to have authority in the kingdom, and he's exercising that authority in Acts. That kingdom was slowly withdrawn because of Israel's disobedience. Don't say that's unusual, because again, it happened in the wilderness when Israel was at the door of the promised land and had to wander for 40 years. And Peter is now exercising kingdom rights. That's key. Exercising kingdom rights, Peter is. He's exercising the rights that he's going to exercise in the thousand-year kingdom. And at this time, that's in play. It's on the table. In Romans 13, it's no longer on the table because something has changed. A new administration has come. Okay, tomorrow we're going to look at Acts chapter 5, and it's miraculous, it's fantastic. We're going to look at the word jealousy, we're going to look at the word jail, and then we're going to see what this same Peter says years later, after Paul has taken center stage. Peter's in Babylon, and he writes a most amazing thing, especially in light of what he's just said here in Acts 4 and what he's going to say in Acts chapter 5.